Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasadane Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Pashtatade Shatadane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Sri Gaurabhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ray Ram Shrimad Bhagavatam Canto 6 Chapter 5 Verse 1 Sri Suka Uvacha
Sri Suka Uvacha
Tata Prachaita Sosnyam
Tata Prachaita Sosnyam
Anonita Swayambhuva
Anonita Swayambhuva
Shastam Sanjaya Nihayanamasa
Shastam Sanjaya Nihayanamasa
Duhitra Petra Vatsala
Duhitra Petra Vatsala Sri Sukam Vaja
Sukadeva Goswami said,
Tata,
after that incident, Chaitasa, Daksha, Asiknyam, in his wife name, Asikni, Anunita,
Asafan,
Swayambhuva, by Lord Brahma.
By
16. Sanjanayamasa.
Sanjanayamasa.
Bhagat.
Duhitra.
Daughters.
Daughters.
Pitra Vatsala.
Pitra Vatsala.
All affectionate to their father.
All affectionate to their father.
Translations, Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, my dear king, thereafter at the request of Lord Brahma, Prajapati Daksha was known as Prachetasa. We got 60 daughters in the womb of his wife, Asipni. All the daughters were very affectionate towards their father. Purport, after then, Sankasuni, the loss of his many sons, Daksha, repented his misunderstanding with Narada Muni. Lord Brahma then saw Daksha and instructed him to beget children again. This time, Daksha was very cautious to beget female children instead of male children so that Narada Muni would not disturb them by urging them to accept the renounced order. Females are not meant for the renounced order of life. They should be faithful to the good husbands, for if a husband is competent for liberation, his wife will also achieve liberation with him. As stated in the Shastras, the result of a husband's pious activity is shared by his wife. Therefore, a woman's duty is to be very chaste and faithful to her husband. Then, without separate endeavor, she will share in all the profit the husband earns. Text 2, he gave his 10 daughters in charge to Dharmaraj, 13 to Kasyapa, 27 to the moon god, 2 each to Angira, Trishashva, and Bhuta. 4 other daughters were given to Kasyapa. Now please hear from me the names of all these daughters and their descendants who filled all the three worlds. The 10 daughters given to Yamaraj were Banu, Lamba, Kakut, Yami, Vishva, Sadhya, Marudvati, Vasu, Muhurta, and Sankalpa. Now hear the names of their sons. A son named Devarishabh was born from the womb of Banu, and from him came a son named Indrasena. From the womb of Lamba came a son named Vidyota, who generated all clouds. From the womb of Kakut came a son named Sankata, whose son was named Kikata. From Kikata came the demigod's name, Durga. From Yami came the son named Sparga, whose son was named Nandi. The sons of Vishva were the Vishvadevs, who had no progeny. From the womb of Sadhya came the Sadhyas, who had a son named Artasiddhi. The two sons who took birth from the womb of Marudvati were Marudvan and Jayanta. Jayanta was an expansion of Lord Vasudev, known as Upendra. The demigod's name, the Mahabhutakas, took birth from the womb of Muhurta. These demigods deliver the results of actions to the living entities for their respective times. The son of Sankalpa was known as Sankalpa, and from him, Lust was born. The sons of Vasu were known as the 8 Vasus. Just hear their names from me: Drona, Prana, Dhruva, Arka, Agni, Dosha, Vasu, and Vasu. From Avimati, the wife of Vasu, named Drona, were generated the sons named Harsha, Sokhavaya, and so on. Vajraspati, the wife of Prana, gave birth to 3 sons named Saha, Ayusan, Puru, Java. The wife of Dhruva was known as Dharani, and from her womb various cities took birth. From the womb of Vasana, the wife of Arka, came many sons, headed by Tarshadhara, the wife of the Vasu named Agni, gave birth to many sons, headed by Dravinaka. From Kritika, another wife of Agni, came a son named Skanda Kartikeya, whose sons were headed by Vishaka. From the womb of Sarvari, the wife of Vasu named Dosha, came a son named Sishumara, who was an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From Angirasi, the wife of Vasu, named Vastu, was born the great architect of Vishwakarma. Vishwakarma became the husband of Akriti, from whom Manu named Charkusha was born. The sons of Manu were known as the Vishvadevs and Sagas. Usha, the wife of Vibhavasu, gave birth to 3 sons, Yushta, Rajasa, and Atapa. From Atapa came Panchayama, the span of day, who awakens all living entities to material activities. Sarupa, the wife of Bodhi, gave birth to 10 men, Rudras, of whom the 11 principal Rudras were Raivata, Ajja, Bhava, Nima, Vama, Ugra, Vrishakapi, Ajay, Kapat, Kahir, Pradna, Bahu, Rupa, and Mahan. Their associates, the ghosts and goblins who are very fearful, were born of the other wife of Bhuta. Purport, Vishnu Chakravarti comments that Bhuta had 2 wives. One of them, Sarupa, gave birth to the 11 Rudras, and the other wife gave birth to the associates of Rudra, known as the ghosts and hobgoblins. The Prajapati Angira had 2 wives, Svada and Sati. The wife named Svada accepted all the Pitras as her sons, and Sati accepted the Atarvangirasa Veda as her son. Krishashva had 2 wives named Archis and Dishana. And the wife named Archis, he begot Dhumaketu, and in Dishana, he begot 4 sons named Vedasira, Devala, Vayuna, and Manu. Kasyapa was also named as Tarksha, had four wives, Vinata, Kadru, Patangi, and Yamini. Patangi gave birth to many kinds of birds, and Yamini gave birth to locusts. Vinata gave birth to Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, and to Aruru, or Aruna, the chariot god of the sun god. Kadru gave birth to different varieties of serpents. O Maharaj Pariksit, the best of the bards, the constellation is named Kritika, were all wives of the moon god. However, because Prajapati Daksha had cursed him to suffer from a disease causing gradual destruction, the moon god could not beget children in any of his wives. For a part, because the moon god was very much attached to Rohini, he neglected all his other wives. Therefore, seeing the bereavement of these daughters, Prajapati Daksha became angry and cursed him. Thereafter, the king of the moon pacified Prajapati Daksha with courteous words and thus regained the portions of light he had lost during his disease. Nevertheless, he could not beget children. The moon, losing his shining power during the dark fortnight, and in the bright fortnight, it is manifest again. O King Pariksit, now please hear from me the names of Kasyapa the wise, from whom, whose wombs the population of the entire universe has come. They are the mothers of almost all the population of the entire universe, and their names are very special to hear. They are Aditi, Diti, Danu, Kashta, Arista, Surasa, Ila, Muni, Krodavasa, Tamra, Surabhi, Sarama, and Timi. From the womb of Timi, all the aquatics took birth, and from the womb of Sarama, the ferocious animals of tigers and lions took birth. My dear King Pariksit, from the womb of Surabhi, the buffalo, cow, and other animals with cloven hoofs took birth, and from the womb of Tamra, the eagles, vultures, and other large birds of prey took birth, and from the womb of Muni, the angels took birth. The sons born of Krodavasa were the serpents known as Dandasupa, as well as other serpents and the mosquitoes. All the various creepers and trees were born from the womb of Ila. The Rakshasa's bad spirits were born from the womb of Surasa. Gandharvas were born from the womb of Rista. The animals whose hooves were not split, such as the horse, were born from the womb of Kashta. O King, from the womb of Danu came 61 sons, of whom these 18 are very important. Vi, Morda, Sambara, Rishta, Hayagriha, Vi, Bhavasu, Ayonoka, Sankushira, Svarabhanu, Kapila, Runa, Puloma, Vrishaparva, Ekachakra, Anutapana, Dumrakesha, Virupaksha, Viprachiti, and Gurjaya. The daughter of Svarabhanu named Suprabha was married to Namuchi. The daughter of Vrishaparva named Sarmishta was given to the powerful king Yati, the son of Nahusha. Vaishvanara, the son of Danu, had four beautiful daughters named Upadanavi, Hayasirsha, and Puloma, and Kalaka. Hiranyaksha married Upadanavi, and Kratu married Hayasirsha. Thereafter, at the request of Lord Brahma, Prajapati Kasyapa married Puloma and Kalaka, the other two daughters of Vaishvanara. From the wombs of these two wives of Kasyapa came 60,000 sons, headed by Nivadakavacha, who was born as the Paulamas and the Kalakeyas. They were physically very strong and expert in fighting, and their aim was to disturb the sacrifices performed by the great sages. My dear King, when your grandfather Arjuna went to the heavenly planets, he alone killed all these demons, and thus King Indra became extremely affectionate towards him. In his wife Simika, Viprachiti begot 101 sons, of whom the eldest was Rahu, and the others are the 100 Ketus. All of them attained positions in the influential planets. Now please hear from, as I describe the descendants of Aditi in chronological order in this dynasty, the Supreme Personality of God in Narayana descended by his plenary expansion. The names of the sons of Aditi are as follows: Vivaswan, Aryama, Usha, Trasta, Savita, Bhaga, Data, Vidata, Varuna, Mitra, Satru, and Purukrama. Sangya, the wife of Vivaswan, the sun god, gave birth to Manu, named Sharadeva, and the same personal wife also gave birth to the twins Yamaraj and the river Jamuna. Then Yami, while wandering on the earth in the form of a mare, gave birth to the Aswini Kumaras. Chaya, another wife of the sun, gave two sons named Sanaischara, which is Saturn, and Savarni Manu, and one daughter Tapati, who married Sambarna. From the womb of Matruka, the wife of Aryama, are born many learned scholars. Among them, Lord Brahma created the human species. which are endowed with an aptitude for self-examination. Pusha had no sons. When Lord Shiva was angry at Daksha, Pusha had laughed at Lord Shiva and shown his teeth. Therefore, he lost his teeth and had to live by eating only ground flour. Rachna, the daughter of the Daityas, became the wife of Prajapati Kashta. Vahya's seven Ambiga in her womb, two very powerful sons named Sannivesha and Vishwarupa. Although Vishwarupa was the son of the daughter of their eternal enemies, the demons, the demigods accepted him as their priest in accordance with the order of Brahma when they were abandoned by the spiritual master Brihaspati, whom they had disrespected. Thus end the Bhagavad Gita purport of the sixth canto, sixth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the progeny of daughters of Daksha. So this is just a list of different personalities and different species which were born from Daksha. Daksha is a Prajapati, or one who creates populations. So he was trying in various ways to do that. So he created all these different sons two times, and then that didn't work out. So then he created daughters, and then he married his daughters off to prominent persons, including Prajapatis, and they begot the population of the universe at that time. So this is just a list of all those species, different species, and the population in general, human population in general. So some of it is rather symbolic because we have planets and things like that, like Sunny and Ketu and Rahu and the moon and the digits of the moon, etc. And then we have, of course, all the different species mentioned as well, like the snakes and the buffaloes, etc. And we also get prominent persons mentioned, different persons like Vishwakarma, etc. And some of the manus are produced by through these offspring. So the we'll see in different places the lists of the progeny mentioned. So it's nothing philosophical, but it is an explanation of how the universe is populated. So the whole plan of the Bhagavatam from the third canto onwards to show the gradual development of the universe. So we get the glancing of Mahavishnu to create, manifest Mahatattva and Ahankara and all the elements which form universes. We have in the fourth canto the creation of planets by Lord Brahma, which are further described in the fifth canto. We have the production of all the different offspring there mentioned. So that description is quite similar to this later description of Prajapati Daksha also producing offspring. So in this way, all of the different places in the universe get appropriate species of life. Of course, these are only bodies, and in the bodies we have jivas. So the jivas get the bodies according to particular karma. And then they have certain experiences in those bodies. And if they're human, then they do activities, and they get more karma for that. And consequently, they will go into other species of life, or they will get promoted or demoted or whatever. And this way, the jivas go from body to body in the material world, in different species, and in different planetary systems. So the species is part of this whole production of the Supreme Lord to ensure that the jivas get their chance to enjoy in different ways. So that's the significance here. Now, some of these jivas are designated by the Lord to do certain things, so therefore we have the birth of manus and Vishwakarma, etc., and the planetary deities. So they are actually jivas who are allotted certain powers by the Supreme Lord. They're called the bhutis of the Lord. So therefore, some of the jivas take some managerial position, and others are simply in the material world trying to enjoy in this way suffering their karmas. So this whole system is set up in the material world to regulate the enjoyment of the jivas. Instead of haphazard enjoyment, and haphazard karma. The system is set up by the Lord by appointing devatas and manus and kings, etc., to establish certain principles. So that is also discussed. We'll see in the beginning how Swayambhuva Manu and his descendants like Priyavrata and Dhruva ruled the earth. And in this canto also there's, which is Chakshusha Manvantara actually, then we have Dharma established and then demons attacking like Hiranyakasipu and Hiranyaksha, etc. And then we find the Supreme Lord intervening. So in this whole scenario we have production of living entities, we have conflicts arising due to adharma, we have reestablishment of dharma, etc. We have appearance of the Supreme Lord taking place. All of this is so that the universe can go on in an orderly way, in spite of the fact that generally the jivas don't want any order, they just want to enjoy it. But there is some system established by the Lord with the dharma and the kings and the devatas, etc. So the opposite force is the demons. So they don't like these rules. And they try to counteract everything. So therefore they fight with the devatas and they persecute the population and they do all sorts of sinful activities and try to make other people do sinful activities. And in this way they try to lead everybody in the opposite direction. And consequently you get the conflict between devas and demons, which is explained in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam. Actually, the 6th canto, which is the 6th canto here, one of the principal elements is Poshana, which is the topic of the Bhagavatam, which means protection. How the Lord protects the jivas in the material world. One example of that was Ajamila, how he was protected. In spite of his bad qualities, he still got protection of the Lord by chanting the name. And then there's a story later on told of Vritrasura. How he actually, though he was born in a demon body, was a devotee of the Lord, and he achieved the association of the Lord. So the Lord tries to help the jivas in the material world in various ways. And then finally, of course, what is the final help the Lord gives is that the jiva is allowed to perfect himself and go to the spiritual world and serve the Lord eternally. So this portion is concerning what the Lord is doing in the material world with the jivas. So first they have to get into the bodies. So we have Prajapati Daksha producing all the different bodies for the jivas. And then we have the manus establishing dharma, etc. And then consequently have the demons and the devatas in conflict. And we have the Supreme Lord making his appearance in different ways. Well, actually, these devatas are created every 6 times in the day of Brahma. Or more, 14 times, actually, with each manu. The whole new set of devatas take place. With each manu, there's a new yamaraj, and a new whatever. So it's not that they're only once in the whole universe. But every day of Brahma, 14 times, we get new Indras, and new sages, and new everybody. Well, some are species, other things are things like, you know, the moon god and things like this, summertime, sandhya and muhurta, things like this. This is more or less explaining the different divisions of time and things like this. So it's not all particular population, but also other aspects of the creation, like time and whatever, sacrifice and whatever.
So does that denote that the establishment of, what does it really denote?
Well, the most creation of population, where do the bugs come from, where do the elephants come from, so it's all produced by this system. Plus, not only that, then we get the visions of time, things like the nakshatras, you know, all these planets in the sky, everything. So it's talking about the whole system, not just things, but even time elements, and sacrifice, and persons who, like Vishwakarma, etc., who deal with construction, Vastu. And they're all created by different persons. The daughters of Daksha, through them, they're different animals and buffaloes and whatever are created. So it's more or less simultaneous. Physically speaking, the woman is generally not as strong as the man. And they require a house, and they require so many other things. So therefore, they don't take the renounced order of life. That's in general. Now there are cases of women who become like Babaji's or something in the Bodhiya Sampradaya, or whatever. But they certainly don't take sannyas. So in the Varnashrama system, women don't take sannyas. They can become a vanaprastha, but they don't take sannyas. Well, that's talking about case in the material world. This is not actually a devotional principle. It's talking about regular dharma in the material world. In terms of bhakti, of course, we go beyond that principle so that the spiritual life is more important than the dharma. So in the regular system, all the women get married and they serve their husbands. That's basically what they do. And hopefully the husband will be dharmic and follow those rules properly. So by serving him, she gets a result. Because she serves him. So that's the regular system. Now, the whole idea of dharma ultimately is to lead to liberation and hopefully to bhakti. That's the indirect goal or whatever. So hopefully they will also practice some bhakti as well. However, bhakti is not restricted like the dharma has restrictions on everyone, so therefore everybody can practice bhakti. So it's not that only the husband does the bhakti and the woman doesn't. But in terms of dharma, there's certain things the man does and the woman doesn't do. But bhakti the men and women both do. So the principle of bhakti is a little different from the principles of dharma.
Is the lifespan of these personalities, is it limited? They have different lifespan. What are given the life?
Yeah, they're all limited. They've got material bodies. It's all limited. David is a little longer than us, but they also got a material body, and they also give up those bodies.
Narendra Shishimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Sunat Padma Thas Ki Jai.